Mari Ulven, better known as Girl in Red. Wir haben sie gerade gehört mit Bad Idea. Heute Abend spielt die Künstlerin im Musik und Frieden, bereits restlos ausverkauft die Show da. Jetzt ist sie aber nochmal bei uns mit ein paar Tickets, ein paar Resttickets im Gepäck. Hier im Studio ist Mari Ulven. Wir quatschen über die ersten Kapitel ihrer international ausgerichteten Karriere. Wir erfahren unter Umständen, wie es sich anfühlt, wenn Hörerinnen ihr Coming Out durch Girl in Red lieber leichter fällt. Wir sprechen über selbstproduzierte und veröffentlichte EPs, über Pläne für 2020 und vieles mehr. First of all, I say hello and welcome to Flux FM, Mari.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm kind of tired because we woke up at like, I don't know, 5 and then we drove to Berlin from Copenhagen.
Okay.
So I've been like a zombie in the car. But now I got some tea and I got some water. Walked up a lot of stairs. I'm good.
We're working on a fitness program for Mari Ulven.
Yes.
Just right before our show tonight at Musik und Frieden. Well, congratulations on chapter 2. Another great EP. You've self-produced, self-recorded, and self-composed the whole thing on your own again.
Yes.
When did you realize that working like that, like independently as possible, would be the right way to work for Girl in Red?
I don't know. Like, it's just been coming naturally to me, really. Because it's, you know, I have my little space in my room, and when I get ideas, I'm usually home, so then, like, it just makes sense to, you know, start working on ideas when I'm home. And, I feel really safe in there. I feel like I can come up with any single line and not feel like, oh, is someone gonna think that line was bad? Should I not say this line?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just, like, really free space, and I feel safe there. And I like being home. I like not having to go out. So that's a perk. Yeah, I think I just found out that it works well.
Yeah, and I've read that you're kind of like protecting the Girl in Red project or the idea because you basically don't know 100% what Girl in Red is.
Yeah.
So you don't want to involve other people to tell you what it might be or to steer it into a direction that you don't want to
especially when
go
it's
to.
So early. Like, because I especially thought about that like a couple of months ago, and I still do, but like a lot of people in label meetings and stuff, people would be like, yeah, what do you want? Like, yeah, and we think of you as a songwriter.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
Yo, don't think of me as anything. Like, don't label me. Don't put me in a box. Don't, you know? So, and people, obviously, they see, when they see someone as me, they see someone who they can make money off. I feel like that's very typical in the music industry. So, and I don't like that vibe at all, so that's why I've just been sticking independent, just like putting music under World in Red Records. So it's not good having all this noise. There's definitely some voices you should listen to.
True.
That are like I always listen to my mom, what she says about my music, and I listen to what my sister says, and if my manager has something to say, I will listen to him.
Yeah.
But like other than that, I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I really think it's important for the art of Girl in Red, for the music that we've listened to over the past months since chapter one, because you have your own approach, and that's what makes it special. And in times like these, I think it's super important to just go your own way. Because, I mean, if it's hard to sell records out there in times like these, why don't you just fail with your own stuff? You know, it's much better than to work out like a concept or a plan how to sell the record, and then it doesn't work, and you've worked with stupid people in the label.
Yeah, and you spent like $50,000 trying to do a really good single, trying to work with like some good producer, because he had a number one like 10 years ago, so like let's work with him or anything like that. No, like just do your own thing, and I think that people will find that more better and cooler, and will, you know, gravitate towards just someone being themselves instead of like trying too hard.
Yeah, totally. And I really think that in times like these, people gravitate towards the authentic, you know? And that's something that you provide. You sing about your love for girls. You sing about your very private parts of your life.
Yeah.
And people do relate to that nowadays even more than a few years ago. I think maybe that has to do something with the filtered Instagram world and the perfection that's around you all the way, every way, all day long.
Yeah.
And then something like Girl in Red comes up where a person just tells his or her story in a very, you know, straight kind of way.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely a connection between, you know, how we've been living our lives the last couple of years with Instagram and Facebook and social media and Twitter, and how we've just like, there's so much, we just see each other's highlights all the time. And there's, you know, there's 24 hours in a day, and you might see 1 second [S2] Sure. [S1] Out of that day. And there's so many more feelings and you know, things happening in a human's life. So I think in a lot of my music, I might, you know, sing about those things that you don't see on Instagram, or like, you know, like being up at 4 a.m. thinking about not really wanting to go anywhere yeah. tomorrow, or not wanting to, like, just the thought of being alive tomorrow is a very hard thought, or, you know, thinking about just like not being content and, you know, thinking about weird shit. Yeah. So I think that's good.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some more beautiful stories about your songs out there, because I found out today that some women or some girls as well, they've kind of soundtracked their coming out
yeah.
with a song of yours called Girls. They were putting it on the radio, and then there's a song or on the stereo, and there's a song
yeah.
about a woman who's in love with women, and then they play that song to their families and like, nah, I have to tell you something. I think I'm kind of like the same way.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I mean, I'm a straight cis male, but I can totally emphasize or think of the moment to be much better, to be much more capable to come out in front of your parents or friends when there's a little tune playing, you know.
Yeah.
that's a beautiful story.
I think so too, and like having also someone with you in a way that also feels the same way, even though I'm not there physically and mentally either, technically, but having like something that you know says what you feel makes you feel less alone,
yeah,
and,
sure.
and might give you some extra courage to be like, yeah, I just feel like this girl, so yeah, I'm also gay or whatever. Like, people tell me these stories every time yeah. I meet them, and I think it's super awesome and super cool too.
It must be a beautiful feeling to tour the U.S. and then yeah. the girl comes up to you like, thank you.
Yeah, I did come
out with that song, and it went well, and my family
yeah.
still loves me. I mean, it should be
like that.
Should be
There's
like
definitely
that.
Some yeah. Some stories that go the other way around, mm-hmm. but then I'm like, yo, you don't need those people. You need people who like just accept you for who you are. But yeah, there's like so many, I have so many good memories of people just coming up to me and just pouring their hearts out.
Did you anticipate that? Have you consciously written songs to come out to?
Yes. No, it's all a part of a master plan. This is my concept. Here's my big major label in the back. Psych.
It was just a joke.
No. No, it wasn't really a plan at all. I didn't really think it would get that much of a big feedback. And I guess in a way, before I wrote these songs, I was in many ways like the people who are listening who might also feel alone, because I felt alone and I didn't really think anyone would relate to the song maybe.
Yeah.
But obviously I've grown as a person now, and I know more that, you know, people, there's like, you're never alone with feeling anything. Like, if you're feeling something right now, there's probably like 100,000 people yeah. feeling the exact same thing somewhere else.
You've invented the companion that you basically needed way back when.
Yeah.
When you realized that you're not into boys, and
yeah.
that when you got the feeling that you were like very special and on your own alone with that, but actually you weren't.
Yeah.
There should have been a girl in red way back then.
I've said this before, but I definitely wish I had someone like me when I was younger. Because
yeah.
But now there's like King Princess and like Hayley Kiyoko and all these other like queer icons that teenagers and me also are like clinging on to and,
yeah.
and, you know, feel represented. And that feels really good.
Yeah.
So I'm also happy to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be. You should be proud of it. Because it's really, it's important work that you do, because it helps out young girls, especially in your case, but it helps out young people to deal with their situation, because it's not as easy for them as one might think nowadays, because everybody's like, oh yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's became the normal or something like that. But it's not as easy as that, especially for young people who just find out.
Yeah, and especially I think the part of accepting yourself is even harder than telling somebody, because it's like looking in the mirror. I remember I would just look in the mirror and be like, and I would just like cringe when I you know, said to myself that I like girls. I would just like, I just felt horrible about it. So accepting yourself is really, really hard. And then telling somebody is also like, you just got to get your, you know, got to have some courage and say it. But so I'm really happy that, you know, I can be a part of people accepting themselves and then have courage to say so. But obviously everybody should be okay with somebody being gay. There's been this whole thing in Norway lately about this series about conversion, gay conversion therapy. Mm,
here too.
Yeah?
Yeah, but they want to forbid it here though.
Yeah, they want to forbid it in Norway. Mm-hmm. Well, they should.
Yeah,
it's being discussed. So like, I don't even know. That's a no-brainer for me, man.
No, it's just giving harm to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, no one gets help with ideas like that. That's totally obvious.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. Let's listen to another song of yours before we talk a bit more. Mari Ulven nochmal auf dem Plattenteller als Girl in Red. Und wir hören ihr Stückchen Dead Girl in the Pool. Empty bottles everywhere. We've just talked about the production skills, and then I hear some water in the end of the song Dead Girl in the Pool. Congratulations on that. We've established the fact that you're not only composing and recording your own music, you're producing everything on your own because you want to keep it real. You want to keep it 100%
hands-on.
Girl in red. Yeah, sure. I mean, and I love it. And I think that's the beauty of making music in times like these, because nowadays you have all the means of production at home. You can buy or build a kind of like nice home studio for a few thousand bucks.
Yeah.
Whereas 20 years ago, you wouldn't get the money together without a major company record deal or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like the music industry is like way more democratic in a weird way right now. Because it's like, let's say every musician has like a little studio. That's like, everyone has ability to like vote almost. So everybody has like their... They're not everybody. Like, I'm really privileged. I'm from Norway, which is like the safest country in the world, from like a middle class family. So like, I've been very lucky. So, and I've, you know, so I acknowledge that fact. But so if you're, you know, in my sort of Western world bubble, then a lot of people can, you know, just make music in their own room and just put it out, and not just like, you know, a lot of people just throwing in their voices in like this big pit of Spotify and Apple Music and streaming.
I do like that as well, because I think the voices are, the variety of voices is much, much wider, and there's more voices to be heard. And I actually do love the fact that there's more and more queer people singing about their love, because it's this perspective that I haven't seen on my own, you know, as a heterosexual man. And I'm kind of like interested in the perspective of other people, because then I can understand them better. We all get along much better. It's not that complicated, actually.
No, it's and plus like,
but so many people are just like, oh no.
Yeah. But the thing is like, it's really just all the same. Cause I guess what I always want in my music, what I want to come out of my music the most is just the feelings, not really like the pronouns or what I'm singing about. Like, so all my songs about, you know, my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, whatever, like, I don't have a girlfriend now, but it's never about it being about a girl. It's always about just, you know,
being
love.
In love.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
that's a universal thing.
That's like the strongest feeling on this planet that everyone feels. So,
I think it's interesting because we've just talked about the fact that things were changing over the last years and decades maybe as well.
Yeah.
And then there's a new school love for authentic songs and artists as well. And I was just thinking about it today. That's like in the 70s, 80s, people like Elton John pretended to sing about women because their audience would kind of like shrink if they knew that, you know.
Yeah.
But there's something has changed in that field, I think, because I have the feeling that people, no matter if they're queer, hetero, homo, whatever, I think they're nowadays they're interested in the music. And if they realize it's not about their kind of sexuality, they don't care as much anymore. They just listen to the music.
I mean, it's funny you mentioned that, like how Elton John would like sing about women, because my grandpa, who is like 70 something, he talked to my mom and he was like, maybe Marie should like tone down the lesbian shit, like you know, because he's like, he's scared that I'm gonna limit my audience and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, shut up, like, you homophobic old man, like, just like, I don't know. I think it's so weird with like older generations, yeah, how they think like that. Yeah, so I think, I think even at some point, I was really scared of that, limiting my audience. But, mm-hmm, but then I was like, no, like, there's no way I am gonna, like, I'd rather limit my audience and be, sure, myself than, yes, than just like, because I don't want the people. I don't want the people I'm limiting out is people I probably not want to associate myself with either. Yeah.
And you're not in it for the money. I mean, yeah, to do that, to tone that down, to get a wider audience, that's stuff for the major company label band, you know, who are really, yeah, in it for the money still, although it doesn't happen anymore. No. But they're like, I'm going to be a millionaire by the end of the year. They could totally try that. It wouldn't work anyway.
No, and it's not going to work.
But I want to thank you for not toning it down.
Yeah, me too. I am so happy. Like, I am so happy that I was just like, no, I'm just going to, this, like, I had, when I first started this thing, also I had nothing to lose anyways. And just, no, I would never ever tone down my amazing gayness.
thank you for that. You've toured America, mm-hmm, I think it was this year, like 2000,
twice. Yes,
that must be great, because it's like a dream come true for every European musician who sings in English. They'd be like, I want to tour the US.
Yeah,
and you've done it already.
I've done it twice.
Two EPs
now.
And two EPs and two US tours.
It's been the first one was definitely the hardest one, because our tour manager was a drunk, an alcoholic, and a liar, and very unstable.
Oh, fuck.
So yeah, so doing a 5-week bus tour in a van was extremely, extremely hard, and I think I'm still like a bit mentally ruined. But the one I did now in September, which was my headline run,
you had your own bus then.
Yeah, I had my own bus. I had a stable tour manager. He was not drinking. And he did not give me panic attacks. So that was great. And that was awesome going, because the first tour was with Conan Gray. I was, mm-hmm, support. Mm-hmm. But this one was my own tour and my own headline show. Everything was sold out. The crowd was amazing. I met so many nice people. And it was like, that was what I hoped the first one would,
cool,
be like. But yeah, and I've been on this Europe tour now for about, like, 3 weeks or something, and then I toured also a little, like, 2-3 weeks in this earlier this year. So it's been in total, I think I did the math the other day, 5 months traveling,
wow,
and touring this year.
Wow.
That's 5 more than last year.
That's a busy artist.
Yeah.
Sitting right here. Speaking of being busy, we have to wrap it up a little because we're already late, but I have to ask you this one more question, because I've read that there's a folder on your computer that's named Album 2020.
Album 2020, baby. Yep, that's right.
So yeah. Can we already look forward to more music of Girl in Red in 2020?
Yes. How, I hope so. You
sure
know,
I'm just gonna
continue working and hopefully make a lot of good music. And then I would maybe like to meet some people that artists that I think are really cool, like the, mm, Japanese house and stuff. I think, mm-hmm, Amber Bain is really cool. And it would be cool to like maybe have some sessions just to evolve in my head,
yeah,
as,
sure,
a musician. And yeah, I already know I'm going to play some really cool festivals. And yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be a big year, hopefully. Fingers crossed that I make some good music.
Yes,
it's all about the music.
We're crossing fingers too. Und jetzt können wir die Daumen drücken für den einen oder anderen Hörer, die eine oder andere Hörerin da draußen, denn ich kann die letzten Tickets, die wirklich allerletzten Tickets verlosen für die Show von Girl in Red heute Abend im Musik und Frieden. Wer die haben möchte, ruft jetzt an. Unter 030 2000 9000 Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wir haben Tickets, die letzten Tickets für Girl in Red heute Abend im Musik und Frieden. Marie Ulven, die Chefin des Ganzen, war bei mir im Studio. Thanks a lot, Marie, for visiting.
Auf Wiedersehen.
All the best of luck for the next few steps.
Dankeschön.
And I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Tschüss.